Well, as the date of our conference draws closer, October 9 and 10, I want to make sure that you've received the invite to join us for the conference, Christ-Centered Christianity in an Age of Spiritual Chaos. And we have the privilege of having for the keynote speaker, Dr. W. Robert Godfrey of Westminster Seminary, California. He is the church historian and president of that seminary, a very gifted and talented man. And I encourage you to come make use of this. We are going to a lot of work to put on this conference for your benefit, for those in the surrounding community, for your benefit to grow and understanding what the mission and mandate of the church is. So on Friday, October 9, he will be speaking on Christ at the center of the church. On Saturday, October 10, that is at 7 p.m. On Saturday, October 10 at 9 a.m., he will speak on Christ at the center of worship. I will follow with a session on Christ at the center of preaching, and then he will conclude after lunch on Christ at the center of salvation, following with a question and answer period. Don't miss this conference. If you have any questions, call us, 360-318-0429. Visit the lindenurc.com, our website, lindenurc.com. The conference will be here at the church and is free of charge. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Now let's turn to the radio broadcast.
Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
When I was preparing for gospel ministry, I'll never forget a little phrase I remembered by Thomas Watson that really always made me think about what my preaching should be and about what it should, what sort of effect it should have. And I remember he wrote that preaching is to be preferred, which makes the truest discovery of men's sins and shows them their hearts. I read that and I was moved because that can be one of the most difficult things to do. How do you show men their hearts? And when you look at the parable of the prodigal son, the real focus is on the other older brother who doesn't want to receive back the younger brother. Well, how in the world do you show him who is in the one who is in the house, those in the church, their hearts when gathering week after week, when they don't really see that anything's wrong with them? And how eloquently Jesus does this here. Here's the answer. All of the great religious leaders of the day are criticizing Jesus for receiving those who are unclean. And Jesus, in a very clear parable, pictures God as clothing unclean sinners with his best, covering them with a garment. I don't think we can imagine the anger in their hearts over such a claim. But now Jesus turns the whole parable right upon them and uses the older brother to represent their attitude toward the mercy of God. In verse 25, we read, "Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in." Now, the utter brilliance and beauty of Christ's parable here is that he uses a variety of things to describe the older brother's hardened heart. And what we find is the most unexpected thing, that in actuality, his heart all along had been farther from his own father. Living in his father's house, he doesn't even care to know him. Now, Jesus emphasizes the fact that he was in the countryside or field. And coming near to the house, he heard all of the music and the dancing. Probably a day spent serving his own cares without any interest in doing his father's will. But notice that he doesn't even go to his father. He is so far in heart from his own father that he doesn't even go to him to find out what is going on. He calls one of the servants to explain the whole thing, as if to say he had no interest to hear about why the father was rejoicing. He was in the house and didn't know him. I've often thought about this. Do we have to go through something in our lives to realize what we have? Do we always have to learn the hard way before we can really, really understand and appreciate the truth? I remember a few years back having a conversation with an elder when I was contemplating going to seminary. And in the conversation, we discussed what God had done in our lives. And he mentioned a rebellious path he had once taken. I can remember saying to him, "Well, after realizing your sin and folly, that must have really strengthened you." And I remember his response, "Yeah, it did. But I wonder how much closer those are to the Lord who've never gone down that path." In a sense, he's right. We should never leave our Father's house and reject what is right. We should not have to learn the hard way to appreciate him, but we do. And oftentimes, these are the very things the Lord uses to work for good. But think about this situation. Being in the church, being in the house of the Father, should make us grow in a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. But when I look at this parable and what Jesus is communicating, it's that sometimes the opposite is true. The older brother was in the house and despised his father. The older brother shared at his father's table and yet had no interest in knowing him. Now, how can that be? This reminds me of a verse in Jeremiah 23. Listen to what the Lord says. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." I love that. The thing we should glory in is that we know the Lord. Do you know God? Knowing God was the great title of J.I. Packer's book. Remember that book impacted me so much. Knowing God, do we really know him? That is what we should glory in. And that's what Jesus said in his prayer in John 17. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." That's such a moving verse, isn't it? That our Lord is concerned that we know him and understand him. That's what the Christian life is all about. Why is this a reoccurring theme in the scripture? Why does Jesus have to say this? Why in Jeremiah did the Lord have to emphasize that in the religious community? Why would he have to say that among the church people? Well, undoubtedly, because there's a real problem of people claiming that they believe in God without really knowing him. J.I. Packer in that book, Knowing God, did say this. He said, "Disregard the study of God. You sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction, no understanding of what surrounds you. This way, you can waste your life and lose your soul." You who are in his house, you who are Christians today, do you know him? You break bread at the Lord's table, you who see, do you understand him? Are you growing in your knowledge of him? Think about the whole situation. This young man, this older prodigal actually, when the young man had come home, is full of envy and wouldn't even go to his own father. He stays away angry and mad from his own father's house. Do days really go by where we don't even think about him or pray to him, don't even attend to his word on the Lord's day and come to his house to worship, don't even delight in his word proclaimed? What is our time spent on, the vanities of life or the pure word of God? We must come to the point of delight and joy in God, our Father. See, the own older son was so far removed from his father that we read in verse 28, he was angry, indignant. He wouldn't go in. And it actually took the father going out to him. How similar is that to the brother? The father going down the road, and the same picture here is that the father, remember, the father was waiting for the young prodigal to come home. And when he saw him, he went running to him. Here the father has to go out to his older son who's even in the house. What a tragic picture. And so the father responds in chapter 15, verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, this is the brother, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Here finally, after being all these years in the father's house, his hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of the older brother, comes to light. Notice he stresses the fact he has been with the father and kept all of his commandments. He didn't see his own heart. He didn't realize that being in the church, his heart was still corrupt and was still self-righteous. Have you come to recognize that you being in the house are just as much in need of God's saving grace? Have you come to see your own hearts? This man had an outer righteousness, but inwardly, his heart was corrupt. He was a ravenous wolf, hating and despising the fact that the father rejoiced over his lost younger brother. One pastor said, a religion that cannot receive those whom Christ receives is of Satan. That we need to think about. A religion that cannot receive those whom Christ receives is of Satan. You know, I want us to think about this then today. Who's the true prodigal of this parable? Well, it's those who've been raised with it. It's those who were in the house and have not yet come. So that has a variety of different applications, but the ultimate one being, if you are a Christian today, ensure that you've come to Jesus, that we don't do any of this out of presumption, but that we need Jesus as our Savior and our righteousness as we are brought to the Father as a dear adopted son.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.